you know, with lack of an alternative that they're aware of, you know, they do the path of least resistance. But that's good stuff. We need to talk a little bit more about that because I do something similar.
Absolutely. Let's talk about it now. What is it?
We're talking about post-rehab. Hi, Phil.
Hey.
Hey, Phil.
Hello.
Wait, Phil, before we talk about that, I want to ask you, how you've been doing? How you feeling?
Great. Seriously great. Awesome. I just had a great workout. I feel great. Thank you.
Good. So post-rehab.
Okay.
Well, I was asking Troy about what he does. We started talking about post-rehab, which obviously rang a bell with me. We were kind of discussing what he does and similarities, challenges, et cetera.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, Phil.
Okay, so that's all about post-rehab?
Unless you know, you need some post-rehab, I can help you.
Is that how you asked how I'm doing? You were looking at you were marketing?
Yeah, there we go. I wasn't, but since you brought it up.
Anybody have any thoughts following our last call regarding what I call the new paradigm and the seven principles? Because I think it's an important distinction between what is in the industry and what we can be going forward. But I do think when you kind of cluster it together and look at it as seven principles, it looks sort of generic. So I'm wondering if anybody had any follow-up thoughts on that.
I mean, as I said before, I thought of it as a refresher, but I didn't really think of it as being generic at all because I think that our contemporaries just probably aren't even thinking on that level. I mean, it's only the people, well, a very, very few people here, probably only us, who are really thinking on that level.
Had an interesting lunch today. I spoke with the local chapter of the WPN, Women's Professionals Network. And this is a global organization, I believe it's 20 plus years old, for female entrepreneurs. Very far reaching, and they're exclusively for women, and most of their meetings are exclusively for women, but they do have four annual meetings where they invite men, you know, sometimes to speak, and that's what we were talking about. And what I found really interesting is they have every single discussion on every single topic that shows up as trendy. So, for example, we hear about the why. If you go on YouTube and you look for talks about the why, you'll find TED Talks, you'll find high-level entrepreneurs, you'll find authors, you'll find local people speaking about the importance of knowing your why. So they learn to explain the importance. They also learn to explain the importance of goal setting. They also learn to explain the importance of having a mastermind group. And, you know, some of this reveals me to be the dinosaur that I am, but I really feel like hitting a rewind button and going all the way back in time to Napoleon Hill. And say, this may be trendy, but it's not new. These are some of the oldest business principles of the last 50 years. And as far as the why, it all comes out of Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Like, none of this is new, but people regurgitate it, and it runs around in these circles. And it's not bad information. It's good information. But they'll talk about it over the course of a year, and they'll have workshops, and we're still working on our why, and what's your why, and have you gotten there yet? And then I've shared with you in the past that I've been to some marketing meetings where they talk about spinning your story and then weaving it so it's authentic, which is completely contradictory to me. And all of it just brings me back to this place of you guys saying you have every advantage. Because I see what people are searching to learn and capitalize on, and they're not capitalizing on it. They're learning it, and then they're spinning it, and then they're learning it again, but they're not really doing it. That doesn't mean they're not successful. They are very successful. In fact, one of these women was the top salesperson, I think, in the nation for Bell South. Another runs a huge, huge chocolates company. So I'm not taking anything away from their success. But I'm looking at the dialogues that they have within their networking groups. And they had interest in two things that I would present, and it was they're very extreme in terms of being opposite from each other, but one was my concept of creative tension. So I presented it a little bit, and I got the sense from them that they were thinking like, oh, we do that, and we do that. The bits and pieces of it, not the whole strategy. In other words, yeah, we look at where in our life we're unhappy. We look at that. Yeah, we do that. Yeah, we create a future for ourselves. Yeah, we look at that. But not in a way that it's put together as a usable strategy. And that's very much like if somebody goes to me, oh, yeah, yeah, there are days that I cut carbohydrates. I do exactly what you do in your program. No, you don't. The beauty of the program is it's all of the things put together in a way that you get a result. Oh, yeah, yeah, I do functional training. I do exactly what you do. No, you don't. So if you're looking for the why, or you're acknowledging your discontent, or you're creating a future memory, it doesn't mean that you're doing what I do, and it doesn't mean you have what we have. So I come back to where we started several months ago, and I'm still urging you guys to invest in those induction questions because I know they're prohibitive because it's work. You know, you start to do it and you go, ah, not now. I have to think too much. But you don't have to work that hard because it's already in you. You just have to identify it. Is Velma here yet?
Yes.
Velma, did you eat?
Yeah.
Good.
I shoved it all in.
You're well fed?
Yes.
So when we looked at Velma's initial attempt at those induction questions, we landed on something. I thought it was great. I thought this idea of Velma being this relaxed leader, the role model that people want to tune into, that she's always in a different part of the world doing her presentation. I love that because it's her. You know, we all love the position of the Velmanator, but that might just suggest like a trainer who's going to kick your ass, but she's so much more than that. And she's a role model, and she's human, and she emotes, and she cries, and she has hardship, and that makes her a perfect role model. She doesn't need to create a story. She is that avatar. She is that character. She is that archetype. She's all of those things. So I'm saying when I look at all of these women working so hard to pull us out of them, I feel like Velma's already got it. She should be doing that. She should be shooting her YouTube show right now from New Zealand, today. So when we look at the seven principles that I laid out as the new paradigm, the first one is belief. And we all know this. So I said it's nothing new. But let's really internalize it. The question becomes, does Velma believe 100% of the time that she can do that? That's the question. Because when
is
the answer becomes yes,
oh.
Well, no, it's a real question, but don't answer it yet.
Okay.
When the answer becomes yes, all the other clutter in Velma's head will move out of the way. The seas will part. And I think what happens is in a moment, she goes, well, yeah, yeah, that sounds really good. And, I could see myself doing that. But then whether it's the next day or the next week, she has an idea. And, well, maybe I should create an online program. And it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. But the reason it's allowed to show up is because she doesn't have the belief. Now, the next principle was be unreasonable because she's a personal trainer. And how could a personal trainer travel around the world and have that kind of freedom? So let's imagine this. Whether or not it's true, let's imagine that we have genes that allow us to do certain things when we need them. So, for example, we're very familiar with fight or flight. Let's imagine that somebody goes through their entire life never having to fear anything. They have the gene, but it never gets activated because they never need it. So let's suppose we take that somebody 72 years into their life never having had the experience of fear. And suddenly, a tiger growls at them. The gene gets flicked on because it's in there. They just never had use for it. When people get a type 2 diabetes gene flipped on, it's because they've done things in their life that caused it to flip. Had they not, it might never flip. So for the sake of this discussion, let's imagine that we have a prosperity gene. I don't know if we do or not. But there are some people, nothing to do with their ethics, who something happens in their life and the gene gets flipped on. And they find their way to prosperity. Now, when I mention prosperity, most people associate it with money. In the original Be Better curriculum, we talk about prosperity, and I say it's different than money. It's a condition. It's a condition of freedom. It is the condition that allows you to cultivate that which you want for your life, and that flourishes and prospers. So prosperity is the condition of accessing that within you. And what comes to you is freedom. And in order to have freedom in the 21st century Western world, you need money. So money is certainly a part of the equation. But it's not money with a lot of debt attached to it. It's not conditional money. It's money that gives you freedom. So let's imagine that Velma has that prosperity gene. But it hasn't been flipped on. Because she's never fully immersed herself in the emotion that lights it up. She's never put herself in the position where she is so excited about the future that's going to happen that the gene flips. She's never set out to pursue something with such fervor and passion that there's no choice but for that gene to flip on. But the only way that happens is if she has the belief and she's willing to be unreasonable. Now, if you guys worked on Wall Street, the gene would flip on much easier. Why? Because you see other people making a lot of money, and you're in that environment, and it's sort of contagious. And I said earlier, this doesn't have anything to do with ethics. So if you work on Wall Street, it's reasonable to make money even if your clients lose a fortune. That's not unreasonable. That's what brokers sometimes do. If they create a high-risk portfolio for somebody, that person knows they're taking a risk and the broker makes money. So it's reasonable for them. If you become somebody who sells high-end homes or develops shopping centers, it's reasonable to expect that you're going to have $2.5 million at some point in your bank account or more. But for a personal trainer, is it reasonable to think that she could have the freedom to travel around the world and make money enough so that she never has to worry about it? So if we go to the existing paradigm, the answer is no. Personal trainers don't have that option. Personal trainers learn to perform safe and effective exercise. They take people through training sessions, one-on-one or groups. Maybe they make some money by doing boot camps. That's the paradigm. So the difference between that and what I'm suggesting is night and day. It's not a little difference. When I say it's a different paradigm, I mean all of the rules are different. Every single rule is different. All of the ceilings are lifted. All of the limits are taken away. So is it possible? It's up to you. It's up to you if you're willing to step into this paradigm and literally switch on the prosperity gene. And I'm suggesting that when you truly accept this new paradigm, that prosperity gene gets flipped on. It ignites. And once it ignites, man, you have a different power. But you have to be willing. You have to be courageous. You have to be willing to confront whatever doubt has limited you up until this point. You got to be willing to shut down all of the monsters that you already know about. But I'm saying do it at a higher level. Otherwise, we could be like all these other groups, and we could talk about the why, and we could talk about all of these trendy topics. But until you accept this new paradigm, until you're willing to start with a different belief, not a whole lot's going to change. I'll share this with you, although it makes me a little uncomfortable to share it. But I'm dating somebody who's a personal trainer. And this morning, I brought my car into the shop just for a regular service, and the maintenance, the guy who, my service advisor, has known me for years, and he commented about something he saw in the car. And he goes, oh, well, you must be dating somebody new. I laughed. And he said, what does she do? And I said, she's a personal trainer. And he said, oh, figures. Now, if I could play that back, if I could, like, rewind and answer it differently, I would love to be able to do that to see the different reactions. You know, what if I said, she's a model? You go, ooh. What if I said, she's an attorney? Oh. Figures? Like, what does that even mean? But it's not a positive, is it? Is it? I mean, if I were a doctor and he said, what is she? And I said, another doctor, I don't think he'd say figures. He'd go, oh. So we talked about it a little. I got offended. And I asked him, I go, Brian, what do I do? He goes, well, you're like a doctor. You coach doctors. I said, I'm a personal trainer. And he laughed. He goes, no, I know you're into working out and stuff, but you're, like, that's not your career. I go, no, honestly, that's my career. That's what I do. And he's now telling me all the reasons why I'm not. And I think I shared this with you years ago when I started speaking at the medical conferences, and I would speak under the heading of personal trainers can cure disease. And at the end, they'd all go to me, but you're not a personal trainer. I go, no, but I am. And they go, yeah, but you're not. It's that same thing. So if we continue to be limited by that paradigm, then that's what we're going to get. So let's go back to Velma. Do you believe 100% of the time that this is a realistic outcome for you?
No, not 100%. In fact, when you were talking about the Velmanator, it took me a while to even – the Velmanator was not my idea at all. In fact, everyone kept calling me that, and I kept going around and I kept begging people, please stop calling me that, because then – I felt like it was this thing I had to live up to. And then I had a very gracious person. She came up to me and she pulled me aside and she said, you know, this could really work out for you. Why don't you just start embracing this and make it work? And so essentially that's what it did, and that's what it took for the convincing. So I would have to say I'm not there 100% of the time. I have this squirrel mentality or shiny new object syndrome, as you like to call it. If something else comes up, I feel like I should be doing that. And it's a lot of common stuff that other trainers are doing, and that's not going to separate me from whatever that personal trainer stereotype is. You know, it's going to keep me in that common place where everyone else is. So that's my struggle right now. That's what I find myself doing.
So who in your life knows that this is possible for you?
everyone else. Literally everyone else except for me. Like, everyone else already knows except for me. And I'm just – and honestly, I ask myself the most terrible questions. Like, why is it so difficult for me to grasp onto? Like,
tell
why
me
can
why,
I not –
tell
stop?
Me why that's a terrible question, because it is, but just tell me why.
It is. Because it's not going to give me the answers that I need to be able to move forward.
What kind of answers will it give you?
It's going to be like, well, because you suck, or because you're fat, or whatever.
Right.
Those are the negative questions. Those are the negative answers that are going to come up with me. So right now I'm in the process of trying to learn to ask myself better questions and to be more to have more positive answers. That's where I am right now. But I don't think it's impossible. And honestly, I'd say probably a good 85% of the time, I am so excited about it, and I can see myself in that position. But I rip myself apart with the other 15% of the reasons why it's just not possible.
Let me tell you this. If there's even 1%, it will rip you apart.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, this is the whole idea of being congruent. What do you know 100% of the time about yourself? Just tell me one thing, honestly, that you know about yourself 100% of the time.
That I'm always nice to people, and that I love to laugh. I love laughter and lightness and happiness.
You believe that?
Yes.
Do you sometimes laugh when it's unreasonable to laugh?
Yes. Many times, almost to the point that it's offensive to other people. And
so why don't you stop? Why don't you stop?
Because I like to lighten it. Like, I don't, even if it's a terrible situation, I have a nervous laughter. There's a difference between a comfortable, happy laughter and then there's the nervous laughter, where if it's an uncomfortable situation, I still laugh. And it's not a good thing at that time. Because it seems like I'm being insensitive, but I'm really not. It's just mostly a nervous laughter. And I don't know how to stop it. Like, it just keeps going. And part of my fear of doing the whole Facebook Live thing, because I had that fear for a really long time, is that I was going to go into this giggle fit, like a nonstop giggle fit. And once it starts, it's like a freight train. I can't stop it. It just keeps going. So I don't know how to gauge myself to not do it in more serious situations, and to, I guess, to have more of a control.
I got
to
ask Tony, because I think Tony may be the biggest Velma fan here. I know everybody is a Velma fan, but I think Tony may be the biggest. So, Tony, let me ask. If you're watching a Velma video from Thailand,
yep,
and she goes into a giggle fit, are you offended? Do you turn it off, or do you sit and giggle with her because this is the greatest Velma you've seen?
Okay, I was gonna say that. I'm gonna probably start giggling too. I'm gonna release my inner Velma. Yep, doing it now.
Why?
It makes me crazy.
Because it's real and it's authentic.
That's
so Velma,
true,
take that with you. That's not something
okay.
you wanna change or get rid of. That's the uniqueness, that's the beauty of you, that's the belief that you said you have. I said, what do you believe? You said that I love to laugh. So what I would like to be able to do out of this call today is get at least two of you to make a 90-minute video, and if it goes a little over, that's fine, sharing your belief of who you are moving forward. Now, I'd love all of you to do it.
Wait, did you say 90 minutes?
90 minutes?
I did say 90 minutes. What I meant was 90 seconds, but, God, wouldn't that be great if I left it at that and you guys really made a 90-minute video? I meant 90 seconds. Yeah.
I definitely couldn't be 90 minutes.
Yeah, my mouth had to draw on that one.
I meant 90, but that would have been good if you didn't correct me and everybody actually made a 90-minute video. That would have been great. No, a 90-day video. I think that if I ask everyone to do it, nobody will do it. So I want two of you to do it, and I want the rest of the group here to push and coax and be positively critical. And what I would love is for the video to be the representation of your new belief. I want to create a video, and you don't have to show it to anyone but this group right now. Not until you're ready. When you're ready, I'll put it on the Transgenesis site, which is soon to be launched. You can put it on your website. You can put it on Facebook, Instagram, whatever you want to do. But right now, it's just an exercise in 90 seconds demonstrating your belief. And if your belief has to change, what a great vehicle to change it. Because you can watch it again and again and again, and it'll make you cringe. And then you can change it. You can do a better one. Tony, how did you feel about that video hitting the bag? I know we spoke about it here, and then you did one in Monday Motivation, and you did a second one for us. But how did you feel about that one?
How did I feel about it? What do you mean? Did I critique it?
I'm asking you to critique it now.
I got to be honest with you. I don't – usually about 99% of all the stuff that I do is one take.
And you never even watch it?
I don't watch it back until after it's loaded. I do it. I put the camera on. It's one. Unless I make some kind of egregious mistake, I just do one take and I let it fly. Whether it's 10 minutes, a minute, 2 minutes, I just let it fly. So that I think I might have done. Actually, that one I did one time because the first one I made some mistakes on the speed bag, so it wasn't as good. But I just let it fly. Whatever happens, happens.
All right. Then let me ask anyone else who saw it. What did you guys think of it?
Authentic. This is the real raw Tony.
Yeah. Different than when he's driving, right? It's not that he's not authentic when he's driving. It's just different than driving Tony doing Monday Motivation.
Yeah. There you go. I agree.
And, Tony, you tied in a great message to it. Like, you didn't say, hey, guys, look at me. I can hit the speed bag. You didn't say that, but you tied it in to a purpose. You know, here, let me tell you guys why I'm explaining this. And it was very natural. And it was very you, and it showed a level of expertise, and it showed you to be, you know, the good-hearted, tough guy that you are. You know, you're not pulling punches. You're going to give people what they need. Speaking of giving people what they need, I thought about Tammy's uniqueness and her power. And as we spoke about, we left off on that call on Tammy, she's disarming.
Right.
Because there's a real strength to Tammy. And unless you know her, I don't know that you feel that strength. But I feel like Tammy's not going to waste anybody's time. Tammy, does that, just that alone, does that resonate with you?
That I'm not going to waste anybody's time?
Yeah, like if somebody just wants to sit around and chat and bullshit and make you feel bad about their problems and tell you that they have food allergies, and I just feel like you don't have the patience for that. Am I right or wrong?
Well, yeah, I'd give them a solution.
But what if they just want to whine and complain because Tammy understands because she's a woman and she's had issues and my thyroid and my medication and my doctor and I have 3 girls and they're always keeping me busy and my husband stresses me out and I don't have time to cook. How much tolerance do you have to just listen to that?
Not a whole lot.
Zero.
Can I make another comment?
Yeah.
About Tammy?
Yeah.
And Tammy always has a period at the end of her every statement. Have you noticed that? That's why I exactly go, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, because she's done.
It's final. Yeah.
Exactly. Which I think is awesome too. Yeah, I think it's awesome because it's like I always feel like you may be reserved when you speak, or you may be reserved to speak, but when you speak, I know exactly what's on your mind.
Yeah, I'm pretty direct.
Yeah, it's like, oh, period, done.
Sometimes that's a downfall, but not always.
Why would it be a downfall? Keep in mind, Velma said her laughter could be a downfall, so I think now it's time to hold up the mirror. Why would that be a downfall for you?
I think I don't emote emotion a lot. At first, people may be taken aback because I'm very direct. But when they get to know me, they know that I am caring and there's, you know, if they're ready to invest, I'm invested in them.
All right, but let's look at the clientele you attracted. You attract successful people, right? Business people, busy people.
Right.
They have lives. They're really not sitting around whining a whole lot.
No.
So all of the whiners, they could look for a trainer who will emote. That's not what you are. That's what I'm saying. You're not going to waste their time.
Right.
Why would you?
Exactly.
You'll listen to their pain for one reason and one reason only. What's the reason?
To get them a result.
To help.
Yeah. That's it, to solve the problem. So different than Velma, but strong. And that's my point. Everybody here has this genuine, authentic power. And we're surrounded by this world where people are called together in mastermind groups and trying to figure things out and create a story and find a way to be authentic. And you guys are it. But we've just got to bring it forward. So whether it's Velma and her laugh, Tony and his speed bag, or Tammy and her period, we could...
Okay, pause.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
90 seconds is enough to really show your uniqueness, but what I want to see in this is your absolute belief. Absolute belief. And I really, Velma, I said I want two people to do this video. I really want you to, because you step forward with the induction questions, and your vision that came out of that day was so compelling. And if we could listen back to that recording, you were really excited and connected to it, but it didn't stick with that intensity because of your own self-doubt.
Right.
Because it's not reasonable. How could a personal trainer do this? But everybody here, I asked you, who knows this? I'm going to answer it by saying everybody here. Tony, do you have any doubt that that's possible for Velma?
No, I believe if Velma stuck her mind to it, then, yeah, no doubt.
Tasso, are you here?
I'm here.
Do you have any question that Velma can make that happen?
No question at all.
Now we go to Jason Barron.
My man.
Jason, are you here?
I'm here.
Can you take a shot at it first? What is it that gives you this authentic, Jason is different than everybody else? What is the thing, the power, the trait that would come through where you'd feel like people are really knowing me and knowing what gives me the strength to change their lives? Can you even take a shot at it?
I mean, it comes to mind is that I'm a jovial person, personality, I guess.
Okay, that sounded really weak and really tentative, both of those things, right? So honestly, train with me because I'm kind of jovial, doesn't get a whole lot of clients, honestly. Hey, guys,
right.
I want to introduce you to this trainer who's going to change your lives. He is kind of jovial. Not one person stands up for that. But what I'm telling you, Jason, is you're a force.
You can't work for me either, Jason.
But this is, again, this is the block for you guys, is you don't see it. So I want to get to a point where all of you can put it out there and make everything that you want to happen start to happen. Everything. Not a few things. I mean everything. So can anybody take a shot just at giving Jason a little nudge toward identifying uniqueness?
Depth of kindness. I think he's got a kindness that is just so deep. I think you can feel that from him. Even in his videos, when he was making his videos, and because, you know, when we spent time together in Florida, it's just a really kindness. He emotes this really deep kindness. It's like it's a deep caring. It's a very caring person.
So, and don't take this the wrong way, different than Tammy. Right? I mean, the personality is very different. What you get from Tammy is not what you get from Jason and vice versa.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean one's a strength and one's a weakness. Either can be a strength, but there's something that you feel from Jason that is connecting, right?
Yes. Yes.
Anyone else? Because there's a lot more.
You know, Phil, my impression of Jason has always been like, that you just sense he's really organized and really has a vision and has a solution already in mind. I mean, when he was building, you know, with Bob the CrossFit, it was like they knew where they were going. They had clarity. They had a plan. It's like there was a quiet confidence about what he was going to do and what it was going to, you know, we're going to grow to this and then we're going to go do this. That's the one that always impressed me. He was always able to number one, articulate his plan, and then you knew that he had the plan in place, and he had the steps, and there was no doubt that he was going to go to that place he told you about because they thought this thing through.
Jason, what gave you the ability to suddenly, and it was sudden, start prospering with the Alive program? There was a breakthrough for you.
Just that. I struggle with a lot of things, but at some point I just say, screw it, and I just, in my head, make a snap and let's go do it. Like, that's best I can explain it. Enough was enough.
But you didn't just do it. You started creating your own illustrations, your own diagrams, your way of presenting things. Can you think of an example of that? Because honestly, I know you weren't comfortable, like initially, just talking about the adrenals and the thyroid. You weren't comfortable talking about insulin and glucagon. Even though you knew it, there was a fear about presenting things beyond a certain level. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you get past that?
I had to own it. So I had to be able to explain it to someone off, like my mom. I can explain it to my mom, I can explain it to anybody. So I had to get my head wrapped around it as far as 360, what this is for me, how do I
Is that background noise coming from your gym, Jason?
No.
Okay, whoever has some conversation in the back, just star six. Go ahead. You had to own it.
So I'm very visual. So when I teach something, I see it ahead of time, and I see the 360 of whatever I'm going to say. I know where I'm going to go ahead of time.
So can you think of one element of that presentation that took what intimidated you and made it deliverable?
The reactions I got from people that I first started teaching it to.
But what did you actually write? What did you do on the board that people started responding to?
I just drew a diagram. So I did the left side would be the parasympathetic side, and the right side was the sympathetic side. And that just, for me, was how I thought about it and put it in a picture so they could easily connect to it. Does that make sense?
You tell me. Does it?
Yeah, for me it did. So it helped me, for them, create this complex thing in a way that they could connect to. And it made me look smart and put me in a position of, you know, empowerment for them. But they still got it. So I watched it a lot. So I think I've always been good at trying to connect with people, taking complex things, making it simple so they get it. So that's, I worked at every relationship, every conversation, especially with clients, is that aha. I want them to get the aha. So however I can not dumb it down, but simplify it so they can understand it. That's how my mind functions and works with conversations. And I use illustrations because I'm very visual.
So, Tony, I'm going to give you a difficult task here. You identified some of Tasso's uniqueness, and now we're listening to Jason. So both of them have the strength of being a teacher, correct? Both of them can perform well in that role of an educator, which is very important to both of them in terms of generating results.
Right.
I don't perceive them as anywhere close to the same, even though both of them could be presented as teachers.
Right.
Can you kind of nail the difference? Where is Jason stronger, or where could Jason be held up in a way that is different than Tasso? So if people looked at a 90-second video of all of you, they wouldn't see overlap.
Well, when I think of Jason, and we've had several offline conversations, so I've gotten a chance to know Jason probably a little bit differently than some people in the group. Jason exudes devotion. He keeps having these beautiful kids.
Non-stop. By the way, I think like it's less than 9 months apart now. It's crazy. I don't know how he's doing it.
And even you can tell, like, the one time when we were on FaceTime, you know, the kids were coming, they're climbing all over him while he's trying to talk, and he's like, dude, I got to go, I got to take it. And even, like, when you were talking about how, where he was ready to start implementing Alive, I mean, I was privy to that progression as well, and it was when he could feel like he was devoted to it. So when he talks about his gym, his partner, that's what he exudes. It's like, I feel is, and again, this is my perspective. When I think of Jason, I think the client knows that he will be completely devoted to the client's progress.
So there's a relationship there.
Yep. So when he used the word connecting, yeah, I definitely see Jason as a connector.
Do you see him at his best? Do you see him with the whiteboard or without?
The whiteboard?
Whiteboard, face the camera. I think Jason does best face the camera. It's not that he couldn't do the whiteboard, but he has that sense of, like, attunement, like tuning in. Yeah, he's talking about if he wants to stand in front of a whiteboard, and right? But just a very attuned, like, you just connect instantly with him.
Right. I mean, the whiteboard is a nice prop, but the whiteboard could very easily turn into a crutch. I guess that when you feel like you're talking, I think the key, and this is just not technique, I just think that this is just a way of being able to convey your authenticity more better. And someone said that when you speak to the camera, because the camera's really cold and stale, but you want to speak to the camera as if you're trying to convey something to someone you love that is extremely important to them. And I don't think that Jason would have an issue with that. I think that you would fit right in there with that.
So, Jason, I think there are two things, just based on this conversation. Anybody feel free to jump in. But I think there are two things that need to come through. I think what Tony said about your devotion, family, religion, career, business partner, like all of it, that word suits you. Do you receive that?
Absolutely, yeah.
But the other part is, you said that you really like to take the complex and make it simple, and you like to deliver an aha. And whenever it was that you first heard me speak or if you came to an event, I'm going to guess that's a part of what attracted you was, wow, here's a guy who's taking all this complex stuff and making it simple. And then what I found important is you said, I have to own it. So now we're at a place in your career where you're able to own that. You're not looking at somebody else and going, wow, he did that. You're going, now I do this. Now I take the complex and I make it simple. And you're standing in that. Does that ring of truth?
I think there was a big moment for Jason when you went to Indiana and did that presentation with him. He got all those people in. Am I correct that you did about...
Hold on. Tassel, you're missing something.
Okay.
We set it up, and then I didn't go. He did it.
Oh.
Which you're right, absolutely. He was forced to do it. So, yes. Yeah, he was scared shitless, but he had to come through.
Yeah, that was a game changer.
And that was
it. It was a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he just got thrown before the wolves, and, man, he flew. So, Jason, I like both. I think in 90 seconds, I wouldn't take time to draw on the whiteboard, but I would have the whiteboard just to make a point. So let me ask you this. What is it that you think people are most confused about that you could give them an aha within 30 or 45 seconds?
Just the reasons why where they're at, like with their health, their sickness, their
give
track.
Me one. Give me one. Like if you had one to deliver in 30 to 45 seconds.
I don't know.
You do know.
I know.
All right, give me four.
I got cranked. No, I got crying kids in the background here.
It's okay. I know you're devoted to them, but you got to be devoted to this call, too, because this is your future. So in order to be the best dad for these kids.
The releasing of their confinement.
You'll be able to round them up. I trust that you will. And if not, you'll just have more.
No, that's the thing. I think I can present that. Like, the number one thing would be helping people break out of their confinement of their bad health. Like,
okay, but tell me specifically, like, if you were to present, if we gave you 90 seconds, we want you to write on the whiteboard in advance, because for 30 seconds, you're going to address something. Give me four things that you're going to choose one of them. Like, inflammation is the root cause of disease. It's not that sugar makes people fat, it's that it prevents them from releasing fat. You know, what are some of the things that you think people are just really stuck on that they need to know? Too much aerobic exercise will make you fatter. Give me four.
You took all the good ones. Gut health determines your direction, so the gut health piece of it has to be there.
Okay.
That the 6 minutes or 9 minutes exercise can change their life.
Good.
That I'm doing bookends with my clients. So the bookends are the morning routine and the evening gratitude list. I use bookends for most people. You're not doing bookends, you're stuck in your health.
Bookends?
Yeah.
Okay, bookends meaning you do something in the morning, something you're sandwiching your day between two things, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, and morning is what?
The morning routine.
Okay.
The breathing, the lumbar taps.
Right.
Posing. And the evening is the gratitude, the thankfulness, the meditation.
Okay.
The unplugging.
Good. One more.
And one more. I don't know.
You do.
I know.
Come on, Jason.
People are confused. They're not able to get a result because they're confused. You can unconfuse them. All you need to do is give them an aha. What do you want to give them an aha in?
That functional strength is it. Get off the machines.
Good. Do you feel comfortable speaking to the camera as Velma suggested?
Absolutely.
What would you want to say to the person on the other side of the camera that will let them know that you're different than all the other personal trainers they considered, different than all the doctors they considered, different than all the life coaches they considered? What would you want to express?
I don't know. This is always been a hard one for me, Phil.
I know. That's why we're talking about it. You want to do easy stuff?
No, I don't. So ask your question again. Ask it again.
Knowing that you're speaking to the camera, but recognizing that every time somebody watches the video, you're speaking to them, what would you want them to know so they realize that you are different than every other personal trainer who failed them, every doctor who wasted their time and took their money, every life coach who promised an outcome but didn't deliver?
A relentless pursuit for the truth.
What would most people do that makes you different? If you will deliver with a relentless pursuit of the truth, how does that make you different? Wouldn't a doctor do that? Wouldn't a life coach do that?
If they're good, I don't know.
You do know. All of the I don't knows and all of the tentative and all of the maybe is your limitation. And this is why I'm telling you, if we look at this new paradigm, and the first one is belief, every time that you express that you are tentative, you're demonstrating your lack of belief. Now, I'm listening. Sounds to me like Tasso has a huge belief in your power. Velma does. I heard Tony. It seems like the one who is missing it is your wife's
That's
husband.
Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is why I want you to deliver the belief in a video. I think it's a really strong exercise. Will it be hard? Absolutely, it'll be hard. But Jason, I don't know a different way. If there were a supplement that would give you the belief, I would recommend that supplement. But I think, man, you are so gifted and so talented, and what people are identifying is your devotion comes through. The only one who doesn't see the strength of it is you. So the way to get you to shine is to get you to put it out there. And you know that people respond. You know that your clients respond. But I just want you to put it out there so everyone can see it.
Answering that question has always been tough for me.
What's that?
Answering that question, why am I unique, has always been difficult. Back then, be better for.
I know. We're going to put an end to that difficulty now by getting you to step into it. There's Velma laughing at your pain. That's what she does. Listen, she's laughing. She's not backing down.
I tried to filter, man. I'm really sorry. Jason, I need to ask Jason a question.
Yeah.
Remember when I met you in Florida, you and your wife, you guys are such kind people. Like, I was just attuned to you instantly, and you were attuned to me. And I was asking you, I started talking about the Be Better group, and then, you know, you and your wife were just standing there, and then I was like, I'm sorry. And then I was saying, I don't know why this strikes me as funny, but then I start crying, and I was like, it's the Be Better family, like nobody else understands, and I kept going into that whole thing, and you guys were standing there, and you were just hugging me, and I don't even think you knew me that well, and I just kept talking, and you guys didn't make me feel like a dumb idiot or anything, you just kept talking and were just so kind to me. I just remember thinking later, like, Jason hardly knew me, but I just felt like I had that connection and that I could express myself that way to you guys, and you were just so kind and understanding, and that's when I knew. I was like, oh my god, Jason's just the best ever to deal with that. And I just thought it was
that's
the
awesome.
Kindest thing, and you didn't, like, you know, shoot me away like, oh my god, she's so weird, get her out of here. And it was very kind.
So here it
so
is,
I
Jason.
Thank you for that.
Jason, your strength is you are kind even to people you think are weird, dumb idiots.
That's
I didn't say
power.
All that, sir. I know I have issues.
Ask your question again, Phil. Ask it again.
Do you not know the question?
I got to hear it again.
You're speaking to somebody on the other end of the camera. What do you want to say to them so they know that you are different than every personal trainer they ever met, every doctor who ever pretended to help them, and every life coach who sold them a bag of shit? What makes Jason Barron different?
The only thing that comes to mind is all the stupid things that everyone can say. So I'm trying to find that one dude, that one line, the thing. And it comes to
all
mind.
Right, forget one line. Forget one line. Nobody says it to be one line. Just,
well, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is the thing that anybody else can say. Like, anybody can say this. Things that come into my head. So I don't know, like, the thing that no one else can say. I don't have that yet.
It's not necessarily the thing that no one else can say. Here's what everybody will say. I care about my clients. Everyone will say that. I know what it takes to get you fit. Everyone will say that. I'll motivate you and inspire you. Everyone will say that. I just heard a whole lot of things about you that makes you different. Were you paying attention?
Yeah.
So is that what you heard? Is people saying Jason's generic? He's sort of like everyone else. He just says he's going to get people fit even though he doesn't.
I don't know. I got a blank right now.
Tammy, what is frustrating you in listening to Jason right now? You want to shake him and go, Jason, come on, man. Can you explain
it? I want to shake myself.
I want to hear it from Tammy with a pause and a period. Okay, I feel like we're waiting for E.F. Hutton.
To me, it's always been not say what I'm saying per se, but just how I'm saying it, how I'm connecting to people. Does that make sense?
Like Tasso, give it to him.
Like, help me out, brother.
Tasso, go ahead.
What am I giving him?
You're giving him the mirror that he's not seeing. He's coming back with the, I don't know, I feel like I'm just like everyone else. Is this hard for you too?
No, I mean, it sort of goes back to what Tony got me to realize is I have the answers, and I have a lot of tools in the toolbox, and through the experiences I've been through. And Jason's, in his case, he studied it. He's been a student of this so he could deliver your results. And like he said, he's relentless in finding the truth, and now he's going to share that truth with you. You may not like what you hear, but I'm going to share it for you. I'm going to make it understandable for you. I'm going to put it in your terms.
What about that, Jason? You're relentless in your pursuit of the truth. You're going to explain it to them in a way that they get it, and you are devoted to them to make sure that they get the outcome they want.
Yeah.
True?
Absolutely.
Comfortable?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So I would love to see a 90-second video, not a 90-minute one. If you want to do a 90-minute one, you could do that too. But a 90-second video, and here's how I picture it, although you don't have to do it exactly this way. But I picture it with a whiteboard also, and not you writing on the board, or maybe one thing, but it already being up there. And you start by expressing your true and genuine frustration that so many people fail to get fit because it's all complicated, right? Like your strength or your desired strength is to give them ahas so they go, oh, I get it, right? So I want you to start out by giving them one. So you could choose any one or you could choose all of them if you want, but any one of the ones you mentioned or another one where you say, for example, you know, people don't understand. All they think about is eating protein. They don't understand how vital the gut is to their health. And one of the things I do with my clients, or you can talk about mindset or talk about the bookends, talk about how simple it is, but just something where you're giving them a quick lesson. And then you literally step away from the whiteboard and speak to the camera, and they need to feel your devotion. They need to feel that you are connected. You are relentless in your connection to giving them truth, like the one you just showed them, because you just demonstrated a truth. You don't know any other way, because you are completely devoted to each and every client for one purpose, to give them the life they want.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay, so do it. And do it in a way that you're going to put it out to the group only, and just be open to ongoing, I'm going to say critique and criticism, because then you'll do it better and better and better until it completely represents you. Because what I want you to have is what you're still miles away from, the belief.
Yeah.
Because even though right now we can convince you, I asked Velma earlier, do you believe it 100% of the time? I don't even believe you believe it 5% of the time. Yet everybody here knows this about you, that you are different than every other personal trainer, that you have a great power, that your clients connect with you because of who you are, and that you deliver results, not just because you say you do, because you do. You're changing people's lives in such powerful ways. But if people just think Jason's another personal trainer, you're missing it. And be humble, but not so humble that you are reasonable. Step out of that. You know, become the number one recognized trainer in your area. People should be willing to drive and drive and drive to train with you because they saw your YouTube video. They should be willing to do a consultation on Skype for $250 because they believe what you're saying. Is that possible for you?
Yes.
I don't know if you have the desire, but what if you could do 4 Skype appointments a day for $250 each? I have 2 questions. 1, Can you change people's lives if you never even are in the same room as them, if you have that vehicle?
Are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, totally, I can do it, without a doubt.
You can change their lives?
1,000%.
Can you move them away from disease if you only met with them by Skype?
Easily.
Okay, second question is, if you had 4 sessions with them, would it be worth $1,000?
Oh, yeah.
Does that compel you at all?
I have a question on that stuff. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just the gap from now to that. That's always freaking challenging. But I'll push
that's
through.
Creative tension. And here's what happens.
Yeah.
When you have belief, the creative tension becomes momentum. When you have doubt, it becomes tension emotionally, which
yeah.
you've experienced, right? You feel
yeah,
pressured.
Well, now.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. You're going to create this video, and I'm going to ask the group to watch the video critically and ask the question, would somebody from that message be willing to spend $1,000 to have Jason consult with them 4 times by Skype? What if you chose 2 days a week where that's all you did?
It'd be awesome.
Let me ask you this. How long would a Skype session have to be? Like, assuming we moved into this. Skype or Zoom or whatever platform you choose to use, how long would a session have to be? Like, if somebody said, Jason, I have weight loss resistance, I've been diagnosed with a thyroid issue, it's all the things that you talk to people about in the Alive program, I can't come to see you because I live really far away. I want to do 4 sessions
minutes.
With you by Skype. How long does each session need to be?
Hour and a half.
An hour and a half?
Hour to hour and a half.
Okay, so an hour.
Yeah.
Would an hour be enough?
Depends on how long I talk. But yeah, it could be.
What do you mean depends on how long you talk? Suppose you only have an hour.
Don't have an hour, that's going to happen.
And $250 per Skype call.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't freak me out. That doesn't fear me. Just, like I said, that creative tension between from now to that, that's, you have to overcome that.
You will.
Actually, doing it, to me, is the easy part.
So doing it does not scare you.
Nope.
Getting to a point that you feel that you can command that is the difficult part. In other words, you're looking at your reality, and you're going, hey, if I had to do that tomorrow, I could, but how am I going to get from here to there?
Exactly.
So if a person showed up tomorrow and said that to you, Jason, I live really far away, how can you help me? Would you be comfortable enough to say 4 Skype sessions, $1,000?
Yes.
Interesting.
It's just getting that person. That's what I've always struggled with. If I can. Someone showed up today, out of the blue, I can do it on a whim. I feel completely comfortable.
You've got to change your language and stop talking about you always struggle. Okay, that has to become past.
In the past,
honestly,
I've struggled. Yeah.
Correct. All right, I used to struggle. In the past, I've struggled. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right now, we got to change your belief, and you have to be unreasonable. And you have to be better from day to day, from week to week. So whatever you haven't been able to do, you will now be able to do. So you're willing to make that video, 90 seconds, right?
Yes.
Okay, Velma, let's go back to you. Are you going to make a video 90 seconds?
Absolutely.
Okay, tell me what it's going to represent. What are we going to see in that video? What do you want to communicate?
Laughter, lightness.
Okay.
I think my ability to be able to push people, like find their inner athleticism.
Let's go different. Let's go different than Jason, okay? Because you have this idea of having viewers, many viewers, right? And showing up every week or wherever you are and having all of these people connect with you.
Yes.
Okay. And there's really something... very unique about hanging out with you. because yes, you're fun. Yes, you're committed. You're a little self-deprecating at times in a way that can be funny. I don't remember exactly what you were showing, but I do remember a video where you went into your pantry and you were pulling things out, and it was just like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then I remember your post about your farts in the Live Across America group, which was legendary. So I think the authentic Velma is really easy to sense. Like, when you're being genuine, we get that. There's no pretense.
Right.
But I think you have to look at it differently. Jason is going to communicate in a way where people are going to go, holy shit, I need to connect with him one-on-one. You're going to communicate with them in a way where they want the electricity. They want to be around you. You know, they want to connect with you because what you're going to offer is a certain dollar amount per month where they're going to be connected to your show or to your presence. So there has to be a message. So if you could do a general overview of just what life is going to be when you bring your Velminator tools to the world. Do you understand what I'm asking? Like, I don't want you to communicate with a person for the sake of them bonding with you as their trainer. I want you to communicate with each person as if they want to be part of your minions, as if they want to be part of your audience.
Because I'm the Velminator.
Correct.
Yeah, I get where you're going.
If you like that. I mean, you can choose. Are you going to take that Velminator position? If you love it, then do it. You know, if not, you're free to create something else. But whatever you create right now, it has to be with belief. And nobody can tell you to be reasonable because personal trainers don't do this. Because
yeah,
you're going to be doing
reasonable.
Your broadcast from Europe.
Right.
Join the Velminator.
Exactly.
And actually, that's
been,
really good, the Velminator.
That's been
really
talked
good.
About, too. And I've got that on T-shirts.
Be part of the Velma Nation. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, because I think I've embraced the Velminator so far, but it's how it's going to be presented. I think that's where I am right now.
So
and
you...
The,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. When you keep saying being unreasonable, I don't think I'm unreasonable yet. I don't think I'm there yet. I'm getting there. But I'm not quite tied into that just yet because I'm
okay.
Still feeling like I'm embracing the Velminator.
You feel like you haven't fully embraced it, you mean?
I don't think I'm fully embraced into the Velminator because it still makes me uncomfortable when people call me that. I've been recognized like out in public now and that makes me really uncomfortable. Because now I'm saying to myself, who is watching my videos? And because obviously people are watching. If
yeah, but this is what you want. You want everybody to watch your videos.
That's exactly it. Right. And so where is that uncomfortability coming from? I don't understand that part.
I was about to ask you that. What's making you uncomfortable?
I don't know. I'm trying to identify that. Like, what is – maybe knowing that people are starting to tune in. And then I'm like, holy crap. And then there's a part of me that when I laugh, I feel like I can't be taken seriously because I laugh so much. You know what I mean? Even though that's part of who I am, there's another part of me that's like, well, maybe they won't take me seriously because I'm always giggly. I'm the giggly girl.
You ever watch
you know,
any
people
Tyler
used to
Perry
call me
movies?
A black bone. Any who?
Any Tyler Perry movies?
Yes, I do. I think I've seen
okay.
them all.
Yeah, okay. So
wait, who's in a noisy place? Who has, like, kids or stuff going on in the back?
That's me because I'm moving away.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
But you see, like, how he mixes in the comedy with the
yeah.
with the message and how, like, you know,
yeah.
Madea is an absolute, you know, mess. But the message comes through.
Right.
I mean, the fact that you're organically you, that's what people really connect with. I mean, look, there's going to be some people who are just not going to like you. You know, you ever hear, like,
right.
you know, New Kids on the Block, I hate them. Oh, you ever listen to any of their music? No, I just hate them. You know, and you know, those are the people who are not going to be connected to you. As long as you're going to be an authentic, as the more authentic that you are and the more different that you are in your authenticity, the more you're going to find the people will be, they'll be polarizing. But the people who love you are going to really love you. And the
right.
people who don't, who cares?
Yes, I think I'm finding myself afraid to be, you know, me, afraid to be who I am.
But see, I love the Velminator because
that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I love the Dominator because it's memorable. And that's,
I mean,
that's
Velma, you know, it may not be appropriate. It may not be appropriate, but, you know, a lot of people don't like Donald Trump, but don't you think he thinks he's doing a good job? And a lot of people think he's doing a good job, and they're appreciative of the job he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, so we are who we are. Yeah. You know, some people are just pissed off and don't want to laugh at anything. Fuck them.
Right. I've met them. Trust me.
Yeah, no, Velma, your laughter is a part of your gift, and you have to completely embrace it. And I think a part of your challenge is you second-guess everything, and you
yeah.
have to stop.
I know.
So start with the video and think of Contagiasm and just be unguarded and let us review it, give you feedback, and then you'll do it again, and you'll do it better. And eventually you're going to turn this into your regular weekly or three times a week contagious presentation. And all you have to do is build your database.
Okay.
That's the only thing you have to do other than start to work this video and build that level of belief. Because a little at a time, you'll be better. So we speak about it, and you go, yeah, I built my database. I added 32 people. And then you just go somewhere else. And you just have to stop going somewhere else. You just have to keep building it.
I agree.
Quick question. Velma, when you do your videos, do you take a retake or do you edit them? Do you just kind of let it go and then you say, okay, I didn't like that one. Let me do another one. You do multiple takes?
I do. Are you talking about the live ones or like the ones that I actually
Well, I mean, the live ones, you let it slide, whatever. But I mean, obviously the live ones you can't, but the other ones you like take and then look at it and say, I should have done this better or should have done this differently or...
No, the first ones, when I started doing them, I would not go back and look at them because I couldn't stand the sight or the sound myself. And then there's other ones where I just want to make three main points and I would just go and riff because if I try to memorize like a script or something, then I get all bumbled and I just don't make any sense. But then if there's three main points I want to make, I just go and I riff and then I'm like, okay, it's good. And then I'll just post it. Because my fear also was showing it to people. And then I think I sent Phil a video, which he hated, because that was another one of my fears, and I just wanted to conquer that fear. Like, people that you think very highly of seeing you on video, that was another one of my fears. So I just did it, and I just wanted to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think hated it was really what came out of my mouth. No, honestly. But I think you were speaking about things that you weren't expert in. That's what it was. It wasn't that.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you come across as charming and delightful and lovable, but I just think you went into a realm that is just not your best. You know, you're not the professor, you know, and you shouldn't take on that role. So what you do should be fun and meaningful and at times intense and emotional. But I think you went into a place where you just wanted to teach. And it just seemed like it wasn't something you were expert in.
It wasn't authentic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, so it wasn't that I hated it. It just, when you are you doing what you do best, people will fall in love. When you try to be something else, they're not going to respond the same way. So that's what we're looking for here. And, you know, when there is this page of the trainers who are live coaches, remember, the video that you post there, you can post anywhere. But it should be, hi, I'm Velma, and then within 90 seconds, people should get a flavor of who you are. And when they see Tony, whether that's hitting the heavy bag and putting out his message, and Tony, I have a question for you in regards to that, they're going to get a different flavor. When they see Jason, they're going to get a different flavor. And some are just going to really connect with one of you and not the others, and some will connect with all of you. But I just want you to be really clear in who you are, because when you put it out there, it has to represent that you are unique. And as long as everybody's homogenized and just a personal trainer, you're never going to step into igniting your prosperity gene. So if we go back to what I said at the beginning, that if there's this gene that we all have, but you've got to put yourself in a position where it ignites and the switch gets flipped, that's what I want to do now. I want to push you into that place where you step so far into your story and your authenticity that you never have to create anything. There's no spin. You're just being who you are, doing what you do, and you stand out above everyone else. Tony, I want to ask you, and this is partially personal preference, but if you're creating now a position for yourself, let's say locally in New York, are you every man's personal trainer, or are you one-on-one for those who are serious?
You talking to me?
Yeah. Yeah, are you, because you're sort of both, and I think it'll help you to choose a position, because
yeah.
In the Staten Island Slim Down, you're coming across as if Tony's the everyman's trainer, and there's a real presence that you have there, but there's also a weakness, and the weakness is there's no value in him because he's everyman's trainer. I'll just be one of the people in the audience, and Tony will help me. What a great guy. Or are you kind of the high end for anybody who's really going to be serious? I'll train you. Which end of the spectrum do you think you best fall on?
I best fall on the high end. I mean, that's the place where I want to be. And it is a source of conflict, too, because of the positioning with the Slim Down program, for sure. Because there's this whole process of, you know, come in and, you know, everything, all this stuff is provided for, and then it's difficult to have people bridge that gap to say, well, and it happened last year. Remember when you said to take the price sheet and put it on everyone's chair?
Right.
And so everyone who came, it was like, you know, you could see that some people were picking it up, and they saw, you could see the sticker shock that was happening where people were picking up from the chair. And
which doesn't mean don't do it, right? Which doesn't mean don't do it.
Right. You're absolutely right, because one of the breakthroughs that I had and that you coached me through was being able to say, okay, I'm 125 an hour, and then, you know, well, people gonna they fit into whether that works for them or not. And then I found that right away that people end up having more value because that bottom feeding crowd, you know, they don't, I'll just say what it is, they just don't want to pay, and as a result of them not wanting to pay, they don't find the value with it. Those are the same people who miss classes, and then they want,
right.
I wasn't able to make it, and they have all that other bullshit going on, and then you have to, you know, to deal with that. I mean, the two clients that I've gotten that have been paying the new pricing are unbelievable. They have the most gratitude. They're the most.
But wait, so what does that tell you? What is the obvious lesson here that took you years to get?
That you want to be in the high end because they're more appreciative and they understand your expertise. And
it's not the high end. It's not the high end. It's those who appreciate your value. You said something, and I don't want to correct you. You said those that want to pay. Tony, nobody wants to pay. Nobody wants to pay. Nobody shows up and goes, hey, I want to pay you. What could you do for me? Right? Nobody does that. Nobody goes, what can you do? You want to fix my car? You want to clean my house? You want to personal train me? I want to pay. They don't show up with that. So it's not about those who want to pay, and it's not about the high end. It's those who appreciate your value, become your best clients, and get the best results. So
yes.
Here's what I think you have to do in your story authentically. You've got to come across as the trainer for those who are committed. That's how you have to come across. That you are, in fact, the best trainer, and I wouldn't say this, but this is how you want to come across. That if you live in New York, you've got this amazing resource, Tony Books Aviles, but he's not the everyman trainer. He's for the ones who are dedicated and really want an outcome, right? With that said, Tony has a great heart, which is why once a year, he is willing to share with this huge Slim Down. But I think you need to create that distinction intentionally so it doesn't blur the lines. So what you're doing, in a sense, is giving back. But that's not pulling you into a place where you're every man's trainer.
I love that. I love that.
So make that,
a lot of clarity.
Make that video. Make that video. Make the video. Tony, make the video as the trainer to those who are dedicated and express why you do the Staten Island Slim Down. Just so you're fully in belief. So this truly does become authentic and it gets rid of the conflict. So you can create that separation without having to waver back and forth. You're clear on who you are, you're clear on your identity, and you're also clear on what you do. So it's a gift.
Yes.
Good. Tom, so you wanted to say.
I don't know if it's appropriate, Phil, but in Tony's case especially, because you've given him his choice, it's sort of like, you know, do you know who Darren Hardy is? Or Darren, he has that Darren Daly? And, you know, this is a guy, every day he comes on, he gives like a two-minute deal. You get it comes to your text or your email, right? And he's giving you a success strategy or a little quick blurb. And so, but, you know, I couldn't afford Darren Daly at $2,500 an hour, but during the course of the year, it feeds his spillover is what it does because he runs these programs and he goes only for $400 for, you know, I don't have an interest in it, but those things going to you is when you come out and you do the Stat 9 and Slim Down, it's going to feed your spillover at that point.
Okay.
And the people who are in enough pain will find the money to invest in you and find the value in you.
And Tasso, you're right, but Tony has struggled with this for years. And every year, he has an amazing turnout where everybody drools going, oh, my God, you got that many people, right? And then Tony has the same dilemma every year where at some point along the way, he's frustrated, right? Whether it's the partner or they didn't want to pay or I gave too much time. So I'm just saying, let's not think of revenue right now. That's not what we're aiming at right now. Of course, it's important. But right now, it's more positioning. It's who is Tony and how should he come across? And I think, Tony, you're in a great spot to do that, to say, I am, you know, I'm going to say this word, but elite. I am here. I'm a resource for those who are serious. Now, you know, it's not the higher end. You're not looking at people's income statement. But if you're serious, then you're going to see the value in getting a great trainer. So if people see the value, then they're going to pay $125 or whatever your rates ultimately become. If they don't, honestly, you can't help the world. With that, though, you'd love to help the world. You just can't. So every year you do this huge slim down so you can help your piece of it. And I think that's your gift back, and that's beautiful. So, Tasso, what you're saying is true, but right now I want him to really just zero in on the position and to break this conflict that he's had for so many years, because it's hard for him not to be the everyman's trainer, but I think he can't anymore if he's going to hold that position. And his experience just demonstrated those who see my value not only happily pay me, they don't bring me any stress. They don't have issues. They're not complaining. They're not changing the sessions, right? They're the good ones. And they're the ones who are paying what you were afraid to ask for so many years. So, turning point.
Yeah, for sure. I love it.
All right. So, Tammy, next time we're coming at you. Patrick, we're certainly coming at you. Coach Terry, like to come at you. But right now, what I would like is that we get videos from Jason, Velma, and Tony. And Tasso, how did you feel about that video you made where you were standing there and talking about mindset?
Felt good about it.
Did you feel that represented your position or just a part of it?
Just a part of it.
Okay.
That's one part of the solution that we offer.
You say we.
Well, we and our, as a brand. And I'm the brand. I mean.
Yeah, this has to be me. Meaning you. This has to be Tasso. I understand you have a brand. I understand Bodies, and I understand that, you know, you're so used to that. But right now, this has to be about your position. Because with your position, any brand connected to you will flourish.
Okay, I got
so,
that.
Okay, so you and I will speak before our next call. And I think you too can do some. Well, everybody here can do something great. But right now, I'd just love to see what we get from Velma, from Jason, and from Tony. Good?
Good.
All right. Then until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Phil.
Bye-bye.